All right. Do your hearts not burn within you right now? This weekend has been so wonderful and so enlightening to see how Jesus Christ appeared to individuals, how he took the time after he had been raised from the dead to work with them, to help their understanding get to the point where they truly, truly believed that, yes, he was the Messiah, that, yes, he was going to redeem them, that he had redeemed them, and that now they could enter into his glory. And that truly a wonderful, wonderful thing would happen, that they would receive Spirit, Holy Spirit. God is Spirit. They got God's Spirit within them. So we're going to take it from Act 2, Scene 3, which is Jesus Christ with his 12 apostles right before he ascended. And we'll start in Luke 24. And something to keep in mind is that at this point, they were all together. They all believed. Okay? They were a group. They were assembled together. So we're going to start in Luke 24, verse 45. Then Jesus opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Yeah, I'd say they're witnesses. They were with him in his earthly ministry. They were with him, and he showed him many times that he was risen from the dead. They saw the power that he manifested. They saw the true nature of God through him. He came to make known the Father unto them. They were true witnesses. And in a court of law, what do witnesses do? They testify. Exactly. Now, are we witnesses? Were we there when Jesus Christ got raised from the dead? I don't think so. But now we have that Spirit, and it talks about in 1 John how that Spirit is witness, because it's God and Christ in you. So that same Spirit is witnessed. It witnessed what happened. And now we have that Spirit within us. And as we manifest that Spirit, it is the witness. So yes, we are witnesses. The Spirit within us witnesses that Christ is risen from the dead. We're also called a lot of other things in the Bible. We're called his kids, his sons and daughters. We're also called able ministers and ambassadors. So that's our title, okay? Keep that in mind. Verse 49, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So here Jesus Christ is telling them of the promise of the Holy Spirit that is to come. And he's told them this many, many, many times about the Comforter that is to come, about being endued with power from on high. But he gives them instructions, okay? God and Jesus Christ, they never leave us hanging, like, just go figure it out, you know, like, whatever, do what you want. No, they always, God always gives us instructions and directions. And then it's up to us at that point to listen and to follow through and obey with those. So we're going to see that they made that choice to follow through. Now we're going to just look at Acts real quick, because this scene takes place in a few different spots. So if you turn to Acts chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4, and it says, And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Okay, so get this picture. They're all together. Actually, you're going to get this. Try and picture it in your head now. They're all together. They all believe. They all know without a shadow of a doubt. They know experientially that they are with the risen Lord and Savior. Okay, and he keeps telling them, okay, you guys are going to get something more. Like, it's not done yet. There's more coming. We have this promise that is coming. Just wait. Go back to Jerusalem. Wait there, and it's going to come. But here they are, all wondering, hey, you know that kingdom you talked about so much? Are you going to restore it now? Is Israel going to be, like, the major power on earth? Are you going to be the king? Do we get to reign as kings now? Is this how it's going to be? Woohoo! You know, they're all excited about this kingdom being brought to pass. And he's like, okay, no. Not yet. What does he say? Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his power. But, guys, this is the point, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost. Okay, so as we know, the kingdom that Jesus Christ was referring to is a spiritual kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, that kingdom became a reality, just as it is a reality for us. In manifestations today, God said that we are seated next to Jesus' hand. That's the reality of what Jesus Christ was talking about with the Holy Spirit and the gift of Holy Spirit available because of the love, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I truly believe that at this point, the disciples finally, once again, got it. They believe, and now they've got it. And now, and Jesus Christ gives us commission. We're going to go to Mark 16 and look at what he tells them to do. So we're going to start in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or judged. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out, speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, that's a pretty lofty commission. And, you know, it's not too different from the commission that we have from God, too. I just want to clarify some things. Verse 17 it talks about these signs that shall follow them. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. We obviously know that they're speaking in tongues, and we can all do that. That's a great witness of the Spirit within us. And then in verse 18, it says, they shall take up serpents. Now, you know, I'm sure if that literally happened, which it did with Peter, that it will not harm you. But really what this is talking about is serpents represent deceit in the Bible. And so in a way, he's saying you won't be deceived any longer. You'll be able to discern. Isn't that part of the manifestation of the Spirit? We're able to discern things. We can see spiritually now. So we won't have to be deceived. And also the part, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. This is also referring to evil words, hurtful words. They're like poison. When someone speaks evil against you, well, God's given us protection against that. And so, as you see here, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to equip you with everything you need in order to do this job. I'm going to give you protection. You're going to be able to manifest my Spirit in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, which is such, that is our power. It's the Word, and it's using the name of Jesus Christ, that authority, because of the things that he accomplished. And so we don't need to be deceived, and we don't need to be afraid anymore to speak or to be concerned with people's reactions if they do say harmful things against us. You know, the world is not going to like us because we're not of this world. But right here it's saying, you know, if they drink any deadly thing, if people speak evil against you, doesn't matter. Let it go. God's so much bigger, and what God thinks of you is the truth, not what people say, not what people think of you. So that just really blessed me to kind of look into that and see that words, deceit, all those things no longer have to have any place in our lives. So now they've got this commission. They get it. They believe. They understand that, all right, I guess we have a job to do. The kingdom has not quite yet come. And let's look at their response, because now they had a choice. Just like Peter last night had a choice whether he was going to follow and do the things that Jesus Christ had individually asked him to do to feed his sheep. Well, here Jesus Christ is asking this group, this chosen, appointed group, to go out and to preach and to speak his word and to preach remission of sins and to manifest the spirit that was to come on the day of Pentecost. And so their response, we'll read verse 9 through 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received and sat on the right hand of God. And here's the key. And they went forth and preached everywhere. What did it say in 15? Go into the world and preach. What did they do? They went forth. They preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming or establishing the word with signs following. Amen. Okay, so what did they do? They obeyed. They did what they were called to do. And take a look at some of those accounts in, let's go to Acts, actually. To start. It also says at the end of Luke that their response was that they worshipped him and they had great joy when they did the things that he asked them to do, when they went and obeyed and did the commission that he asked of them as a group. That, keep this in mind, there's a theme here that they were a group at this point. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we'll start in. So here Peter's been bold, they've received the Holy Spirit now, and they're doing exactly what Jesus asked them to do. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So originally the commission was for them. And now what are they doing? They're spreading it and everyone. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you guys imagine that? 3,000 people got born again that day. Because the Spirit of God working in these people, in Peter and the disciples. It's amazing. But how different could that be today? That can still happen today, right? We have that same Spirit within us. We can do that thing too. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear or reverence came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So here's a testimony that, yes, they absolutely did follow through and obey with the commission that God had given to Jesus Christ to tell them to go and to do. And we're going to look at just one more record about that, just to confirm it. Acts 4. All kinds of things were taking place. People were speaking evil against them at this point. You know, there's all this stuff going on. It was a huge life-changing event that was going on. Let's read verse 24, actually. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. I just like that verse because, because picture this beauty of these hundreds and thousands of people together in one accord lifting up their voice to God and acknowledging God for what he has done. It's beautiful that now at this point, everyone is in one accord. We just read that in chapter 3. In chapter 4, it says that. We're going to read verse 31 and see again that there's this theme of one accord. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Here's that one accord again, this togetherness, the power in their union here. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So when I was studying all this stuff in the Word and this specific scene, the common theme that God showed me was that the greatest power that we have is the Word in action. And the Word in action, and because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, is the mystery, is the one body, is the power that is released when we all come together. Because you know what? Each and every one of us has the same spirit. And I know that at this point, the disciples, the apostles, all those that had just gotten born again, they recognize this. You know, here are these disciples who were just regular people who made lots of mistakes, had lots of questions, you know, had fear, had doubt, had all of these emotions that we too have gone through, but they put it aside and they identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and they came together. And here you see them functioning as the one body with Jesus Christ as their head. And when, you know, every time in Acts, when there are tons of people born again, you see either before or after how they were in one accord, that they had one heart, one soul, that they were together. The power of God's Spirit in us and the beauty of what Christ accomplished is truly in the one body functioning together as individuals, but also as a whole. And that's kind of what I saw about that we are witnesses and we are power. We have power. The greatest power and witness that we have is the love of God in manifestation. And how else does that get accomplished except as a body functioning together? Every single person, every single part doing what God has called them to do individually, uniquely, but together. And that is how the Word can move over the world. And that is exactly how the Word moved over the world, because these disciples were united. They had the same heart. They put everything else aside, their past, their station, you know, they were equal because they had just received this Spirit that made them equal and that made them regard each other and see the Christ in one another. Let's go to Ephesians and see how that is still true today. Because you know what? The disciples, they're our brothers. Do you realize that? They are brothers, and that's just really cool to me. Ephesians chapter 4. All right, we'll start in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I lovingly implore you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What are we called? We're called to be sons and daughters of God. We're called to be ambassadors for Him. We're called to also go out and preach of the gospel of what Jesus Christ accomplished. We are called to say He is risen and He lives still. And you can have Him living in you. We can speak that to people and we can reach out with love. That is our calling. So I as well beseech you that you walk worthy of this with all lowliness. Suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, the evil one is going to try and come and divide us. Because when we're divided, we're not as strong. Because I need you guys. And if I'm off in my own little corner, I'm not very effective. But when I'm unified with you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, then I and we together function. And the power of God is just released. It's, you know, like I've been seeing that now that I'm married. The power of two people agreeing on God's word, even just two people, to be in unison, to be in one accord, the power of God is absolutely, it's phenomenal. When Stephen and I pray for things and we agree on the promises of God's word, it is established and it absolutely comes to pass. Absolutely. So that agreement, even with just two people, releases power. And think of and just see what happened when these disciples and all these people that got born again were united and agreed upon the things of God's word. People got born again. People got healed. Miracles, signs, wonders happened. You know, yes, it is an individual choice that we make, but it is also we as a body that need to decide this and make these decisions to be in one accord and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, there are gift ministries, and there are people whose lives are a gift to the body of Christ, to help unite it, to help lift people up, to exhort them, to serve, so that we function as a body. We all have jobs to do. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith, of believing, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that's the goal, is to grow up into Christ, not only individually, but as a whole, as a fully functioning body. Because you know what? If my leg is broken... I really have a hard time walking, okay? So if my body isn't unified, if every part of my body, every tendon, every joint, every bone, every ligament, if they're not functioning and they're not connected and they're not unified, I'm going to have a hard time walking. But when we are all together and we recognize the need for one another and we recognize that we all have the same Spirit within us, you know what that does? It gets rid of the judgment. It gets rid of the fear. It gets rid of the doubt, because you see, and then we can testify of the goodness of God working within us and as a body. You know, and I think back last weekend we went to the gospel brunch, You got this big black woman who's like, do I have a witness in the audience? You know, and do I have a witness in the audience about the goodness and the grace of God working in the body of Christ and you witnessing that? Do I have a witness? Okay, you know, these are exciting times. And truly, I know every single one of you here has a story, has many stories about how God and how specifically you saw the body of Christ functioning to help you and to seek, when you were seeking deliverance, how God was able to work in the body of Christ and your brothers and sisters to meet the needs that you had because His Spirit was working in them. See, this is the power. This is the witness that we have, is this unifying spirit, the unity of faith. And what is it that energizes your faith? Love. That's the key. We've heard it all weekend long. We hear it in manifestations every single time we hear from God. Love connects us. Love is what we manifest. And love is the word. That is the word in action. So it's not just this emotional, like, lovey-dovey, like, hey, how are you? It goes so much further than that. It's so much more powerful because the love of God in manifestation is His word. Is thinking the word of one another. You know, I was talking with Alex last night, and people say, oh, I think the world of them. No. Our phrase should be, we think the word of each other. I think the word of you. How loving is that? To look over the faults, to not even acknowledge them, but to think what God's word says of one another, and to have a heart of compassion to help one another. Love is what motivates the manifestations of the Spirit. If you have love and compassion in your heart, you are going to be willing for that spirit to be activated in you so you can heal them, or that you can receive word of wisdom, word of knowledge, so that you can be of benefit in any situation. It's that love. Without it, it's void. The things that we do, I could know the whole Bible, every word, verse. If I didn't have love, it's useless. Because love is that activating thing that just ignites that power within us. And that love is what binds us together. You know, it's the Spirit and it's the love. And God is love and God is Spirit. Therefore, that Spirit within us is the love of God manifested. I don't know where I was. All right, I think we're in chapter 4. Thank you. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Remember what Jesus Christ talked about? You know, if they shall take up serpents, we don't need to be deceived anymore. We don't need to be tossed to and fro by this craftiness of men and of the world. Verse 15, but here we go. Speak of may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every one of you supplies something to the body of Christ. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everything's sealed in love. It's motivated by love. And it says, maketh increase of the body. See that love, when people see and witness our hearts for them, that love of God, the Spirit being manifested, the signs, miracles, and wonders that are motivated by love, and when they see us together functioning as a body, that is just going to burn in their hearts. That is the witness. That makes the impression. And then, guess what? Their hearts burn. Something happens. And they get born again too. And the body increases because of the unity, because of the love, because we're working together and we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. You know, it's a challenge sometimes. We might not agree with someone. We might not like someone at times. But when we have spiritual eyes towards one another and we are motivated by the love of God, we can overcome anything, any difference, any disagreement, any annoyance. It doesn't matter because the love of God covers everything. It covers a multitude of sins, and it can help us to overlook and to be united by the one spirit that is within us and be a one body functioning. So, at this point, I love you. And, you know, what really blessed me about looking at this stuff is the fact that all the apostles and the disciples, they were together at this point. And from this point, they went out together. Jan was telling me that in one of the versions that was found recently that says they assembled together, while in the Aramaic and the Syriac, it says that they dined together. And in this particular version, it said that they also took a covenant of salt together. And I took a covenant of salt with Stephen when we got married. And it's protection. It's this eternal covenant that you make to take care of one another. And when we break bread together, it's almost as if we're making a covenant with one another. Like, yes, I'm going to fight for you. Yes, I'm going to protect you as best I can with God working in me. And so at this point, I'd like to call up my 12 disciples and Jesus to come and just act this out so you can have a visual and just get blessed with everybody together working in unity. So what I'm going to do is read from Acts 1, and we'll go from there. I'll start in verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he?
You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence.
And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying,
Lord, will you again restore the kingdom to Israel?
It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that is in the Father's power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is
come upon you.
God upon you. Oh, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen to that?
Amen.
All right. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. It's a loud cloud we got there.
He is risen, and he is coming back. Woo!